Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Brady fires. Oh, my goodness.
And Tom Brady took a shot.
Yes, he did. Another one to Rob Gronkowski.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, hey, everybody, welcome to a wet and a rainy Wednesday around the greater Boston area, greater Foxborough area, probably the greater New England area. Maybe it's snowing where you are, maybe not, but we welcome all of you from around New England, around the country, and, of course, around the world, because this is one of the most popular shows I found out in the entire world. How about that? I made that up, but sounds good, doesn't it? Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email me, webradio at patriots.com, and Facebook me. Got a lot of Facebook messages already. Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. So the NFL screwed the Pete Shepherd Show and producer Kevin Collins yesterday by waiting until about, what, 2 o'clock today? Right around 2 o'clock to announce Flexgate has been resolved, and I'm not gonna say I'm totally shocked, because I know the relationship that Bob Kraft has with Les Moonies. He's good. He's, you know, big mucky muck at CBS and all that stuff, and they're gonna take into consideration the way Mr. Kraft was involved in basically saving football this year. So I totally understand. I mean, from a media standpoint, I don't care. I don't care when they play the game, 4:15 or 8:15. I think had it been at 8:15 at night, I'm just saying that the insufferable Tebow promotion would have been just added on, you know, an extra 3 hours to have to listen to it. So, in a way, I'm glad it's at 4:15. And the caller that called in yesterday, our friend in the service in the Navy, New Mexico, Albuquerque, now won't have to change his plans because, you know, he's flying to Denver for a couple of, for the game, and then flying back, and then flying back to Boston. And taking his fiance, so
I'm
that's good.
Up about it too.
Yeah, that's right.
So you get home a few hours.
You get home. You get so actually.
Get home,
you get 4 hours of sleep instead of 2 hours of sleep.
Well, I get home like so. If the game starts at 4:15 as opposed to 8:15, so that's four hours difference. So
that's big.
You get four more hours.
That's big. That's huge. That's huge. And you know, we want you fresh and refreshed and relaxed for the shows, obviously.
Something tells me I'll still be hurting, but it won't be as bad as it could be.
By the way, how come you don't play my hate the Jets thing at the game? Like I heard in the background before kickoff the other day. You know, you're playing it. Now, why can't you put up on the, why don't you put up me singing on the scoreboard?
Get Pete on the Jumbotron.
It doesn't have to be me. Just my boy. I mean, put the bit from Facebook that was done by a buddy of mine.
Dress him up as in a tux.
Yeah.
Like he's a maestro.
Yeah.
Conducting.
Yeah. Why, that'd be creative. You don't think that would get reaction? I want to be compensated, of course, but
for some reason, we used to show, I believe, not last year, but in 2009, we'd play Carmina, that song.
Yeah.
And we would show kind of like a highlight reel of, like, we'll call it the glory years of, like, you know, the Patriots winning Super Bowls and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, at the start of the 2010 season, the start of last year, we went to, okay, we're not going to show that stuff anymore. This is a new team. I think it had to do with the pictures coming down off the walls, Pete, if you remember that.
Yeah.
So now it went to more of a kind of, we're going to take live shots of the team, like kind of walking out of the locker room in the tunnel. So unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of control over that. But.
Well, I'll make a phone call because I think it should be up there. I think people would enjoy it.
You make a call.
I will. I'll make the call. Anyway, how you doing? It's the Pete Shepherd Show here until 6 o'clock here on Patriots.com. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Rich Campbell from the Washington Times. And he covers the Redskins, and he'll have to explain to me. I did not know this, and I just talked about it with John in the crossover a little bit. But, I mean, the Redskins today forced to practice in a bubble. They don't have a bubble. They don't have a bubble. Forced to practice in some local gym. I don't know where exactly. It was a college gym or a high school gym or a local Y. I don't know. But the Redskins, can you believe it? At FedEx, with all that money that Schneider had, all that money and all, you know, they don't have a bubble. They're building it now in D.C., and they don't know if it's going to be ready by the end of the season. So the Redskins forced once again, according to the report on CBS Sportsline, to go practice at a local gym because of heavy rain. Says they're building a practice bubble, but it's unlikely to be finished before the end of the season. I just find that for that organization and the money they have in this day and age, I find it somewhat amusing. But then again, I am easily amused. Injury report, this goes something like this. Did not participate today. Ridley, Spikes, and Seabass, Sebastian Vollmer, they did not participate. The rest, these people all limited, these players. Arrington, Chung, Connolly, Edelman, Fletcher, Adeyebo, McCourty, Slater, Vereen, Welker, Wendell, and Woodhead, all limited. For the Redskins, Baker, Landry, Neal, and Rocca all did not participate. And you had Austin, Bowen, Brown, Fletcher, Gomes, Hall, and Hurt were all limited. So there is your injury report for the day. Meanwhile, this flex thing that we talked about yesterday a little bit, it is unbelievable in some ways that, and again, it doesn't really matter to me. I don't care. But it just goes to show you the kind of power that Robert Kraft does indeed have in this league. Really, because I would love to have seen the NFL have been a fly on the wall in that room when the final decision was made. And I just like to know how. I mean, I really don't care. Like I said, I don't care how or why. I mean, I care. I just care how it was made. I don't really care. Not going to affect me one way or the other. I know the players are happy that it's 4:15 game, not an 8:15 game. But as a media person, I'm just curious of how this all went down. And again, in the whole grand scheme of things in sports, it's not, I mean, it's, you know, who cares? I'm just kind of, it's one of those topics that I'm kind of fascinated by as a media member, because you don't see this a lot, especially when you already know for a fact that CBS blocked the Jets-Eagles game a few weeks ago, and that as a network, you're only allowed to block one game a year. So, now there was another side note in Chad Finn's column in the Globe, too, Kev, about the Denver-Minnesota game being moved to Fox last week, because normally that would have been a CBS game.
Yeah, they were doing Fox a favor.
And yeah.
I think we talked a little bit about that yesterday.
Yeah.
And we thought some people were speculating that since CBS did kind of the league and Fox that favor,
yeah,
that maybe the league would intervene and do CBS a favor, and maybe that had something to do with
it. I probably did. I'm sure it factored in somewhere along the way. I'm sure CBS used every single, you know, tactic that they could.
Probably pulled out all the bargaining chips.
They had to not lose. And I'm sure Mr. Kraft helped. I'm sure it helped. But I'm sure NBC is not overly happy.
Our own Adam Jones had a funny tweet here, Pete, earlier in the day that said, you know, it was probably like a minute after this got announced.
Yeah.
And he said something along the lines of, not shocked by this by this decision. It's not like we have an NBC place in Patriot Place.
Well, I know, CBS. But I think it goes past that. You know, I think I agree. I mean, there's no question. I think that plays into it. I do think it's the league trying to possibly, you know, accommodate Mr. you know, Robert Kraft for what he did in the negotiations to get football going again. You know, Robert is a very, very well-known, obviously, and more importantly, well-respected around all aspects of the National Football League. So I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to see how that went down, and I would love to have heard the NBC executives on the other side of the phone as this all the negotiations were happening, because, prime time at night on a Sunday for that game, probably more money than what CBS is going to make at 4:15 on a Sunday. And the one reason I'm glad it's at 4:15 is because I can't even imagine the hype, the Tebow versus Brady over the top pink hat crap that would have started spewing out of all these broadcasters' mouths, you know, starting, you know, not only from 10 o'clock in the morning on some of the shows, but all the way up after 4 o'clock, and then you have another hour and a half of it before kickoff. I mean, kickoff's usually not until about 8:30 anyway, 8:25, But it's done. The Patriots will play Denver at 4:15 as scheduled next week, a week from Sunday. But we got more important things to worry about, like this week's game against the Washington Redskins. And you look at the Redskins' schedule, and there's no question, you know, they've been competitive. I mean, they beat the Giants early on. They beat Arizona. They should have beaten Dallas twice. They really should have. They hung tough with San Francisco, lost that one 19-11. Again, that was at home at their place. And no, they didn't look good against when they played in Miami. But now that Davis is not there, I think that's a huge, huge blow for them. Huge blow for them that he's not there. And I know the overreaction of people will say, well, you know, all these other quarterbacks can throw on the Patriots. And, and again, like I said, a lot of those yards and a lot, obviously all of them last week came in the fourth quarter, basically, except for that first drive Indianapolis had. They were shut down. They had 1 yard of offense in the second quarter. And the last, you know, the fourth quarter was not good, obviously, for the Patriots, and they became complacent. But I just don't expect that kind of effort again at all. And it's going to be it's not a game to be taken lightly, that's for sure. But I feel a lot better about it now. And not that I thought they were going to get upset, because I don't. I just think now that I'm thinking about it more and more, this is going to be a double-digit Patriot win. Probably close for a little while. You know, I'm sure Washington defense. I'm already looking ahead of Denver. I'm sure Washington's defense will play. And they have played. They played pretty well. But they have not come up against, unless you want to count Cam Newton, possibly still. And they lost that game, by the way, 33-20. And that was in Carolina. But they have not played anywhere near the type of offense this Patriots team has. I mean, they beat the Giants on opening day 28-14. But do you really think the Giants offense right now is anything like the Patriots? I mean, I know they put up 35 on Green Bay, but I don't think that I just don't think that the matchups here are favor the Redskins in any way, shape, or form. I'm not seeing it, especially on an offense where they don't have Davis. I mean, they certainly have, you know, Jabbar Gaffney's doing really well for them this year. They still got Santana Moss and you know, Helu at running back has done very well, but they've just been an inconsistent team on offense, very inconsistent, and now it's only going to get worse for them with Davis out. So we'll see. But, again, none of these games, and no team in the National Football League can take anybody for granted. But and I don't think the Patriots are looking ahead to Denver and Tebow and all that stuff. I think they know what they have in front of them. I think they know what they have to do. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But certainly I think these matchups favor the Patriots in a tremendous way here. You know, and I just don't see – I don't see how Washington keeps up with them. I really don't, unless the Patriots really, you know, fumble kickoffs or a punt return or something like that or put Washington in great field position. I'm just not seeing it, because they really haven't come up against a team that can play offense like the Patriots. And the run defense for the Patriots has been excellent. And this is the other thing I don't understand. I was reading an article on CBS Sportsline to another one, and a guy I forget who the reporter was, but it's on Sportsline. .com. And the guy was basically defending Tom Brady as far as being, you know, should be mentioned in the MVP race along with Rodgers and Breeze. And I agree with him. I mean, Brady now has got 30 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions, and 8 of those came in 2 games, unfortunately. And four out of those 10 or 5 out of those 10 were deflected. Unfortunately, that's the way it was. But regardless, he's going on and on about how Tom Brady has less to work with than the other guys, which I'm not sure I agree with that at all. Just because the wide receivers may not be mentioned in the same breath as Green Bay's and New Orleans does not mean overall that the weapons are not there. Obviously, they are. You've got to factor in the tight ends of this situation. You've got to factor in people like Welker. And, you know, you still have to factor in the running game too. I mean, offensively, they're right up there. They're second in offense, or third, right there in the top. I mean, them and New Orleans are right there neck and neck. And Brady's second in passing, second in yards. And realistically, I mean, all three. I mean, Rodgers, Breeze, and Brady are going to break Dan Marino's record. It's looking very much like that's going to be the case. But the report goes on. The report goes on and on to talk, you know, defends Brady. He's like, he's talking about it kind of slaps the Patriots in the face a little bit, because he says, well, the offensive line isn't very good. And I'm like, so these are the kind of comments, when I see those, I go, what game are you watching? When you say the Patriot offensive line isn't very good, you've got to be kidding me. I think it's been tremendous. They have allowed the fourth least amount of sacks in the entire NFL, number one. And if you think Matt Light, Mankins, and Conley's out, Wendell, you know, has been hurt. I mean, they've had to go through 3 centers with Kopi out. Brian Waters, Sebastian Vollmer, you know, and, you know, Solder too. when he's had a chance to be in there? I don't think. I think that's a completely unfair comment to say that the. And this is what the other thing that bothers me when people talk about, and people forget this. You know, they talk about, well, the Patriots need to draft this on defense and that on defense and that. And I understand some of the frustrations, and I understand. And there's two things I want people to think about. Number one, if you went and asked every single head coach and GM in the league, do you really think that they would tell you that Bill Belichick does not know what he's doing overall? I mean, do you seriously, honestly believe that? That you find GMs or coaches out there that say, God, they're doing it the wrong way? Of course not. You may not like everything that they do, and I don't either, but I do understand. You understand now why they draft certain players and don't go after some other ones, because their number one top priority always has been, and it always will be, as Burt Reynolds said in The Longest Yard, to protect your quarterback. Me, as Burt Reynolds said. And that is always going to be their number one priority, as it should be. Not that you can't have a ballot, but overall, they have done a remarkable job. The Patriots and the Steelers have done the best job, and there aren't even a close second. I'd put them neck and neck, one and 1A, as far as over the last decade, retaining a very competitive team at a high level while losing key players here and there and just building for depth. I think both of those organizations, the Patriots and the Steelers, have by far done the best job over the last 10 years. I don't see how that's debatable. So I think you have to factor all of this stuff in. When you start talking about Belichick as a GM and, you know, you don't like all the moves and they should go after this guy. They didn't get Clay Matthews. And all right, they didn't get Clay, but you got to realize who they did get and why they did get him. You know? And Solar's done a pretty good job filling in for Vollmer. That's a great asset to have. Look at the people on the offensive line who've had to come in. There are not a lot of teams that can lose their starting center, let alone the backup center, and be competitive. The Patriots have done that too. But I think people have to remember the priority, I believe, Bill's always going to say, well, you want well-balanced on all three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams, and I get all that. But their number one priority, people, is like just what protect your quarterback. And they have done a great job at doing that. So I think you have to take into consideration a lot of that when you start analyzing drafts and trades and all that stuff. Because I guarantee you there isn't a GM out there, if he's honest with himself, is going to sit there and say, you know what? Yeah, the Patriots really have messed it. They've messed it up the last decade. I guarantee you there are all those other teams, or many of them, would have loved to have had the kind of picks and the overall teams that the Patriots have had, been able to get. And considering where they have finished in the standings, meaning relatively high, that they draft so low near the bottom of the first round, what they have been able to do to maintain a competitive team at an extremely high level year after year after year, regardless of if they won the Super Bowl or not, you've got to take all that into consideration. You really do. And yes, there have been plenty of misses. We all know that. So has every other team. And people, once again, like to focus all, you know, it's all the Patriots. Again, it's that black or white, pass or fail type of issue. Well, for the draft and all that stuff, that's done. There are many teams out there who have failed miserably over the years. And all you have to do is look at down south a little bit to Indianapolis, to the team that's 0-11. And they may have a lot more marquee names on offense than the Patriots did at one time. What good did that do? They cannot survive without their quarterback. The Patriots did. You know why? Because of the way they drafted, because of the way they signed free agents, because of the way Bill Belichick coaches his team, because they build this organization is built by depth. And so are the Steelers for the most part. That's why those two teams, if you looked over the entire NFL and seen what those two franchises have done in a year-in, year-out basis, that's why those two teams are at the top every year, for the most part, in the AFC. And I know, people, if you don't win a Super Bowl, that it's a failed year. I understand all that. But you know what? I'll take it. Because you know you're not going to win it every year, despite the fact we all know the Patriots could have easily won two more Super Bowls, very easily could have had two. I won't count 05 against Denver, that playoff loss, because they turned the ball over five times and basically gave that game away, unfortunately. But certainly in 06 was attainable, and 07 was attainable, no doubt about it. So, and the other thing people have got to stop doing is, you've got to stop talking about the loss in 07 to the Giants, and people forget they won two other playoff games to get there. I don't know, for some reason, they beat the Giants in the last game of the regular season and then right to the Super Bowl. But they forget about Jacksonville and forget about San Diego. So, but you got to stop lumping in the loss to the Giants in 07, the Baltimore loss 2 years ago, and the Jet loss last year. It's just different circumstances, completely different. Players are different now. Players are better now. Different styles a little bit. You can't let yourself get caught up in that trap. And another trap you can't let yourself get caught up in is something like this week where the Patriots never won in Washington. And you cannot start going back and saying they haven't won here, or this team hasn't won here, or this team hasn't won there, when they don't play there that often. I mean, I think the Jets last year went into Pittsburgh. I believe they were like 0-12. I'm not talking about the AFC Championship game. I'm talking about the regular season. And they just come off that blow. If you remember, Jets last year came off that blowout loss to the Patriots and went on the road to Pittsburgh. Remember, I don't have the schedule in front, but I'm 99.9% positive. And I believe they were like 0-11 or 0-12 or 0-13 lifetime in Pittsburgh, and they beat the Steelers. So you can't get caught up in those kind of numbers and trends and all that stuff. It was the only time I've ever seen it really happen where a trend was really true to form for a good 18 years or 17 years, whatever it was the Patriots going down to Miami. And after they broke it, I think they won 5 out of 6 going down there at one point. Then it came to a point where they weren't losing down there at all. But that was the only time in my lifetime in the NFL that I can remember a team would go into another stadium until that AFC Championship in the 85-86 season. And just did, you know, and they were, a lot of those games were close. And they would just find ways to lose. But as soon as they snapped that curse, if you will, from 1985-86, things got a hell of a lot better. As far as their record against Miami and down there. Yeah, and they've lost it down there since a couple of times, but overall, they've had some pretty good success against the Dolphins. All right, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's Tyrone in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, Pete, what's going on?
What's up, my friend? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. One quick, really quick thing. Right? This morning I was to work and I had my Patriots hat on, right?
Yeah.
And this Eagle fan came up to me. You know, this Eagle fan,
yeah,
he was there and he said, man, them stinking Patriots be cheating all the time and all that. And, he got caught. So I'm trying to answer him like, and I said, well, you know, if you want to say you cheated, whatever, but since 07, we've still been competitive, and this 9-3 team with the worst defense would be 9-3. I mean, the quarterback and the coach is exceptional. So, I mean, but, you know, he kind of got me a little bit, so I was a little dumbfounded what they say. Help me out when people, these EO fans, come at me. Help me out. And
well, here's what you say.
What they say.
Here's what you say. I mean, cheating slash broke a rule. Let me tell you something. Just tell them, the guy, if somebody's still spewing that crap at you, I don't care where they're from, then they just don't understand the NFL and don't realize that kind of stuff has been going on for a long time. Did they break a rule? Yeah, they broke a rule. They paid the price heavily. And what happened in 2007 after all those distractions came out? They went undefeated in the regular season. They crushed everybody in their path for the most part. And especially remember the night, that week, all that stuff went down and San Diego was here and they absolutely mauled them. And a lot of other teams would have caved and folded and been distracted. And it actually worked in reverse. And that's why, I mean, the Patriots made a statement in so many games that year, because if they're going to be accused of doing that. And the other thing is there's so many other coaches that dismissed it, as they should have. Guys like Jimmy Johnson and Cowher and Ditka, all those guys. Jimmy Johnson used to say, I used to send people up to the press room after to get, pictures or something, whatever it was. I mean, it's just for somebody to say that at this day and age, they're just jealous. And it's only because the Eagles suck. It's only because the Eagles suck that he's saying that.
Yeah, you know, I was hitting him with some stuff, but he won't stop at it. I was getting a little upset, you know, but, you know, I just left it for what it left. And I did told him that, yo, a lot of coaches did it in the past. I mean, come on, man, but, you know, it is what it is. People are always hating.
Well, the Eagles, I mean, the Eagles fans are just, they're just, they're disturbed people. They're a disturbed bunch. And they should be, for what their team has accomplished, which has basically been nothing. So, I mean, they have nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I
don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. I just laugh it off. If you let it get to you, that's what they want. You're gonna laugh it off and just say, if he says that to you again, just say, is that all you got? Is that, why don't you say, why don't you worry about your team? Why can't your team be competitive? Ask him that question.
Yeah, but, well, you know, I did it with some of that. But I was a little, you know, upset, but I got rid of it. But, yeah. You know, I want to piggyback on what you was talking about just now with Belichick and the draft picks and the coaches were saying, for the most part, of course, they would say that Belichick did a wonderful job, but, you know, I never really said, like, yo, Belichick got to go after the star wide receiver or anything like that. Or, you know what I'm saying? But just throw all the contrary down. That's what people get into. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, sometimes if you you hit a miss in the first round. But, I mean, if you see somebody that's good that you could get, you try to get them. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, nobody knows question. Like I said, I don't question Bill Belichick's coaching ability at all. Everybody knows he's a good coach. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it gets the better of him, and then he's thinking he's so good that I could get Jags and retreads and still win. And probably in 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, I mean, you could pop. But now these players are more athletic now, so you got to switch up with the times, like with the wide receiver right now. You know, and I told you yesterday, I'm still a little concerned.
You're obsessed. You're obsessed with the wide receiver. You're obsessed with the wide receivers, but this franchise, and John Rook brought up a great point before this, and you know, besides 07 with Randy Moss, Tyrone, when did this team really have, even back in 01, 03, and 04, who was really out there stretching the defense? It wasn't Deion Branch. You know, it wasn't Freddie Coleman back in 01. I mean, Bethel Johnson, maybe that one play against Houston or Tennessee in the playoffs in 03. But they didn't have a lot of guys over the last decades that did what Randy Moss did in 07.
I think we got to get Randy Moss is not just somebody that's, you know, big and physical. But the reason why we was winning one, our defense wasn't bad. And we could have won the ball effectively. We could barely run the ball now. You must admit. We can't run the ball.
No, Tyrone, again, don't fall into that trap because last week they didn't have to run the ball well. They're up 30. Tyrone, they're up 31-3. They're up 31-3. They don't have to. There were certain times this year when they have needed to run the ball this year to kill the clock. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, for the most part, has done the job. But don't give up on the running game because what happened last week.
But it's been happening. You know, I mean, we barely won the ball. I'm saying we're supposed to run the ball, but we don't get. We get 1, 2 yards, 3 yards. I mean, we don't run the ball.
You're forgetting some of the other games. You're going on one game. You're forgetting the other games. You know.
How about the? Besides them two games, that's it.
No, it's not. No, that's not. You see, not being fair. You're not being fair. No, there's a lot more than the game. How about the Buffalo Bills game was week 3. Brady threw 4 picks that led to 24 points the other way. I mean, you know, they were behind, they were ahead. They had a huge lead in that game. And the Philadelphia game, the reason why the Philadelphia game ended up the way it was, Tyrone, is because the play action was huge, especially on that Welker touchdown, because Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, they started running the ball, you know, right down Philadelphia's throat. And even though they didn't have a, you know, I think you're getting caught up with that somebody didn't get 100 yards or whatever, but because they ran the ball so effectively in Philadelphia was the reason why Brady had such a real good game there. And I'm telling you, you don't get caught up in some of the numbers, but you go back and look at the numbers in the Philadelphia game. You asked Tom Brady. He even mentioned in this press conference, they started, the reason why the passing game finally opened up was because they started running the ball effectively. Yeah, I'm here.
No, Nick, that corner's a safety. The safety is horrible. It was in cover two. Your responsibility is to throw in the pass. Everybody said that. They did horrible, and that's why I play. They did horrible.
No, they're all no. That's, it's too easy a blanket statement to say that. I mean, they were running the ball effectively.
Philadelphia. I call on Philadelphia Eagles. That safety, Nate Allen.
I want you to take a breath and remember where this team is right now. They are the number one seed in the AFC right now.
I got two more things on our
call. All right.
I got four teams, right?
Yeah.
Be honest now. I love my team. I don't get it wrong. That's why I'm so passionate.
Yep.
Out of the four teams, who's better than us out of the four teams right now?
Green Bay.
No, I'm talking about in the AFC. I'm sorry, in the AFC right now.
In the AFC, who's better than the Patriots right now? I don't know. I think it's, I mean, I'm still not picking, I'm not picking Houston with the Yates at quarterback. Even though they won a nice game last week against Atlanta.
Okay.
I don't pick them. I think Baltimore's still been inconsistent a lot on offense. I would say, I mean, who's better than them? I don't know if anybody's better than them. I think the Steelers are, and the Patriots are 1-1A.
Okay. I'll put the Steelers in front of them. I'll put the Baltimore Ravens in front of them.
Why?
Why
would you put Baltimore in front? I can understand. You want to put Pittsburgh in front of them now? I can see that because they beat them head to head in the first and six, 7 weeks ago, whenever that was. But why would you put Baltimore ahead of them?
I'm gonna tell you why. Okay, you take away. Okay, the only thing we got, the two teams we got better than Baltimore.
The what?
Listen to me, please. The two teams we got better than Baltimore: Thompson and quarterback. With Belichick and Tom Brady.
Wait a second. I'd have to look at the numbers about them running, but you have to understand running the ball, depending on what the type of situation is for their games, what's going on, how bad Flacco's been inconsistent, and that they've had to run the ball more. There's a lot. I mean, that's too big a blanket of a statement to say that they can just, because their defense have allowed less points, and all of a sudden, remember, and again, I'm not going by last year, but what happened last year when the Patriots played Baltimore? They were down by 10 points in the second half. In the fourth quarter, down by 10, the Patriots were. And they held Baltimore last year to 6 consecutive 3-and-outs. And then eventually won the game in overtime. So don't, I mean. So all I'm saying is don't forget that. Don't forget that.
You say Baltimore is not better than us?
No, Baltimore overall better than the Patriots? No, I don't think they are. I don't think they're better than the Patriots. I think they're a good team. I think they're a good team, but I think I'm still not a believer in Flacco.
Okay, that's what I just said. Besides the quarterback and the coaching, and the tight ends, if you want it, they got some good tight ends also, but Hernandez and Volkowski better. Other than that,
Tyrone, listen to this, okay? Listen to this, okay? The opening game against Pittsburgh, which I totally throw out, they won that game. They won that game 35-7. Okay, that's opening game. The next week they go to Tennessee and they lose, and they lost pretty badly, 26-13. The week after that, they come back home. Okay, they beat a St. Louis team that had nobody at quarterback. That was totally banged up. They had no Steven Jackson. They had nothing. So they win that game at home easily, 37-7, against a horrible St. Louis Rams team. Then the week after that, remember, they play the Jets, and that was a horrible game on offense for Baltimore. They won the game 34-17 because Sanchez had like two pick sixes, four fumbles, and godly knows what else. The next week, they have the, then they have the bye week. Then they at home against Houston, with that's probably the best win of the year. They won 29-14 against a pretty good Houston team. They go to Jacksonville the following Monday night, and they lose. They lose 12-7. Then they have a horrible Arizona team at home. They squeak out that win. They had to come from behind in that one and win that one 30-27, giving up 27 points to Arizona. Then they go to Pittsburgh. And I'll give them credit for this one. They win this one. That was a typical Pittsburgh-Baltimore game like we thought game one would be. They win that one 23-20. Then they go to Seattle the next week, and they lose to the Seahawks, who are also a horrible team, 22-17. Now, they beat Cincinnati 31-24 at home, and on Thanksgiving night, they beat San Francisco 16-6, and then Cleveland 24-10. Now, tell me what, I mean, besides the Steelers, which is besides the Steelers, where are these great teams that they're playing?
Because the reason why is, I watch the Baltimore games a lot because I'm in this area. Because the quarterback is struggling, and we need them in the playoffs. Struggle has to play great. One, they got a good defense.
Well, wait a second. Whoa. And wait a second. Except Tyrone, they're going to have to play here more than likely. There's a good chance they'll be playing here. And in that scenario, Flacco will have to play great. Because here's the difference. The Patriots offense will play very well. And the Patriots defense, as I've been talking about, if they just play adequate or decent, they will have a great shot to win that game.
How
do you know? You don't know that. How do you know that? You don't know. What do you mean they did it before 2 years ago in a totally different set of circumstances? Completely different set of circumstances. Totally different team. Tyrone, I gotta let you go. I gotta take a break, but thanks for the call. Call back soon. I mean, you know, you don't get it. I mean, I appreciate your passion and everything. Don't talk to me about what happened 2 years ago with Baltimore. It's totally different. Completely different set of circumstances. I think Baltimore's a very good team. Do I think they're better than the Patriots overall right now? No, I don't. And if you want to talk about the Patriots defense against Baltimore in the playoffs, even if it's here, okay, that's fair. But talk to me about Flacco and what will happen is people will say, well, all these other quarterbacks have put up great numbers. Yeah, a lot of those great numbers came in the fourth quarter when the games were out of hand or very early in the game and then got shut down like Vince Young did a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you can't make blanket statements. You don't know what's going to happen. And I think, I mean, for Baltimore to beat the Patriots here, it's going to go well past the Baltimore defense. Flacco will have to play a great game for that to happen. And we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But you cannot keep saying what happened 2 years ago is going to happen now. It's irrelevant. Irrelevant what happened. And I just go back to the Patriots this year against the Jets when the entire planet didn't think they were going to win that game, except for me and a few others. I thought it would be a very close game and the Patriots would win by 3. They ended up winning by 21. You know, go back and read some of those comments from the – I mean, you can't – blanket statements in the NFL are foolish when you start comparing – forget decades, just from year to year. It doesn't make any sense at all. Because those Patriots at Miami trends that were happening back in the 70s and early 80s, those days are done. You don't see that. And where it's 18 losses straight at a certain place. You don't see that. Do you think it matters to Bill Belichick that the history of the franchise, they've never won down in Washington, D.C.? No, of course not. It means nothing. But the Baltimore Ravens are a very good team. But guess what? They have flaws. Just like the Patriots have flaws, the Steelers have flaws. Every team has flaws. Even the Packers have some flaws. They all do. Except you know what right now? The team in Foxborough is the number one seed right now, today. So despite all their flaws and all their inconsistencies that people want to throw out there, some of them are justified, regardless, they've done enough right now. They are the number one seed and have a great chance to win out. I'm going to take a quick break at, again, call me on the A-Stickin' Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio at patriots.com, or Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. We are back at the Pete Shepard Show until 6 after this.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Drive.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Right.
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hey, back here on the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. Rich Campbell from the Washington Times will join me early next hour, get his take on what's going on down in the D.C. area, and maybe get some insight on what to expect, who's going to start for Williams at tackle, that kind of stuff, and how they're going to handle Davis not being around, their number one pick. I mean, their number one target for our offense. Anyway, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That's how you get in touch with me in the Ace Ticket Hotline, or you can email me, webradio@patriot.com, and Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's loyal listener Chad in Sweden. Hey, Chad.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
So, I was thinking of, now you're very happy the game is not at 8:15 next week, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I wanted to say that. Anyway.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, apart from the social crisis, good.
The no. Social crisis. Oh.
Yeah, you know, people getting poorer and poorer. So.
Oh, that. Oh, I thought you meant you had a social crisis like girl trouble or something, whatever. Oh, I understand what you're saying, yeah.
No, I'm doing quite good,
good.
Actually.
Very good.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about some stuff. First of all, I wanted to know, you know, Sergio Brown, he's been, you know, dead,
yeah.
Practically.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, why is Brown still on the roster and Ventrone not added?
You mean why Sergio Brown is still on the roster?
Yeah, and Ventrone is not.
I don't know. I don't know. Somebody brought up Sergio. I don't know. I'm still kind of amazed that Sergio Brown is even here. Last week, because they were playing an 0-11 team, in Indianapolis, I didn't know Slater was going to start at safety last week. And that tells me a lot. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case this week. Maybe if Chung can't go, and Chung practiced today, but we'll see. Limited participation. I don't know. I don't see Sergio Brown here much longer, to be honest with you. I'm kind of surprised he is still here, but especially with Slater and Edelman getting more time in the secondary and doing a much better job at it. So I agree with you. I don't know. He may not be here much longer.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is something I don't understand is, and, you know, Tyrone, no disrespect, you know, he's one of our fans, but a lot of these people who say, oh, you know what, I'm so scared because they've got a good defense and how we're going to do. And, you know, I remember 11 years ago when we had, you know, nothing on offense and we were playing against the Rams and, you know, talk about, you know, problems at center position. We had, like, Compton.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, you know, we had nothing back then. You know, no offense to Troy Brown, but, you know, talk about lack of offensive weapons. And we beat the Rams, and I don't understand what people are saying. Oh, my goodness, the Ravens defense. Flacco sucks.
Mm-hmm.
He's a first-rounder. He sucks. He's got like 10 touchdowns this year.
Well, I don't know if he sucks. I just don't think
he sucks.
I don't think he's an elite quarterback by any stretch of imagination.
He's a first-rounder.
Yeah, I know. But there's a lot of first round busts that aren't in the league anymore. He's not a bust. He's not an elite quarterback.
I know, but actually there's nothing but Bud's first round busts those last recent years. I mean, but from Rodgers, of course.
Yeah.
But anyway, now that was one of my points. And the last point is because I'm taking my vacations at this part of the year, and you understand why.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't be around you know, the internet and all that. So I wanted to ask you a more wider question. How you think the AFC playoff picture is going to turn out?
Well, I think the Patriots have a great shot to win out here, and the only way they don't get the number one seed is if they lose, obviously, or somehow. I think if Houston wins out, Houston would actually take over as a number one seed, and the Patriots would be number two. But I don't see Houston winning out with Yates at quarterback. I don't see it. So my guess is overall the Patriots are going to be number one. Pittsburgh or Baltimore will be the number two seed. And the playoffs, I mean, the AFC title, the AFC championship is going to have to come through Foxborough, which means, as I've said, the Patriots do not have to play great defense. All they have to do is be decent and adequate and have, you know, their offense, you know, play, you know, like they're capable of playing. And, I people want to lump in what happened last year against the Jets. They want to go back to what happened in Baltimore 2 years ago. Things can be totally different. I'm not saying they're guaranteed to win any game. No team is guaranteed to win any game. But, I'll take my chances with this team here. And I think a lot of people forget, I've said it time and time again, Joe Montana and the San Francisco 49ers lost three straight playoff games in a row also. I think they went on to win three other Super Bowls after that. So, I think the playoffs, the AFC Championship will be right here in Foxborough, hopefully, in about 8 or 9 weeks.
Yeah, but I was more talking about, the wild cards, like, you know, Raiders and Titans.
That's a lot of it depends on, I mean, I think Pittsburgh and Baltimore will make the playoffs. I do not think the Jets will make it. And I don't think Cincinnati's.
Really?
I don't think Cincinnati's going to make it. No, I'm not sure Cincinnati's going to make it. It all depends on this thing with the Raiders. I don't know what to make of them. I mean, they're in the thick. I mean, Tennessee's in the thick of things.
Yeah.
It's still a little bit too early. I think the Jets are not going to make it. I think the
really?
Jets are not going to make it. Yeah. I think Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Pittsburgh is definitely going to be one of them. There's no question.
Yeah.
And then, Tennessee is a possibility. I think Tennessee, and now Johnson seems to be on his game now. I think I would pick Tennessee.
Yeah,
I would pick Tennessee.
Example,
but
for example, for because there needs to be a team in the Raiders division that goes to the playoffs. But who will, do you think?
Well, it's either going to be, you know, it depends what happens. I mean, I don't know if the Raiders, that was a humiliating loss that they suffered in Miami last week. I mean, humiliating. And you still don't know what you have in Tebow, despite the Denver defense being 5-1. There's still a lot of football left, and if they lost all four of those games, no one was going to be surprised. They shouldn't be surprised. And so I don't know. I mean, right now it looks like Denver, they're rolling. They won five in a row, mainly because of their defense. Has done a great job. And the Raiders, you still don't know how they're going to bounce back from this humiliating loss. We'll see.
All right, that was it.
All right, Chad. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, my friend. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And we head back to the Ace Ticket Hotline right now and check in with Rich Campbell from the Washington Times, taking a few minutes on the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. Hey, Rich, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
It's going very well. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of this game, I discovered something, and just reading on one of the websites, that I didn't realize this. How the hell is it that Washington Redskins, with the great tradition of that organization and all the money that organization has, how they don't have a practice bubble in this day and age? They had to go knock on a door and find a gym again to practice?
Yeah,
what is up with that?
I'm asking the same question today as I'm walking through the rain to get to the media room here. They started construction on this late, and it was one of the things that Mike Shanahan insisted on when he took the job was, look, we can't have our preparation altered by the weather. And back at the beginning of the season, they were practicing indoors all the time. I think they practiced, I think it was the Giants game that they won in week one. I think they practiced 2 days indoors for that game. So it's really incredible. They're trying to fix it, but yeah, it really is crazy. You know what Joe Gibbs?
Well, where's the gym? Just something real quick. Where's the gym they're practicing in? Is it a high school gym, a college, a YMCA, a college? I mean,
it's like one of the brand name gyms around here. I think it's called Lifetime Fitness or LA Fitness. One of the places around here. They have a big basketball gym.
Oh, the players must love that. They must be pissed.
Well, you know. They get out of practice. it's like a half day of school on days like that. You know, Joe Gibbs used to want guys to practice out in the rain because he thought it made him tougher. That's one of the things about it, too.
Well, I understand. I mean, a couple weeks ago, Bill did the same thing over here. The Patriots were in full pads practicing in the rain. But today they were not. They were in full pads practicing in the bubble. I just thought I never realized there was no bubble down there for that. You know, to get a new stadium, all that stuff, and. The way they spend money, I'm stunned that I'm reading this today, and it's not, this isn't the first time it's happened where they had to go find a gym to practice in.
Oh, no, no, like I said, you know, they've gone weeks, you know, a full practice week basically indoors before. It's unreal. You think, you know, you could skimp, you know, cut costs in some places, but when it comes to putting the best quality product on the field, you think that would be an area where you'd be willing to spend. But finally, they should have it up for next season.
Well, last week on the show, I pick games every week. I really thought the Redskins were going to win the game outright and upset the Jets. I just thought it was a bad spot for the Jets, and it's the kind of game, you know, Washington is talented enough and plays a pretty highly competitive level. That was one of the weirder, particularly in the fourth quarter, the way they had the lead. That had obviously been the most frustrating loss of the year for the Redskins.
Yeah, and you know, they will often play a competitive brand of football and just fall short because they can't finish drives. And you saw that on Sunday against the Jets. I believe they were one of three in the red zone. And you know, at the end of the first half, they were down at the five-yard line and couldn't punch it in. And that's what happens when you don't have a sufficient number of playmakers on your team. They don't have a receiver like a Calvin Johnson or a Randy Moss that can, you know, make himself available when the coverage is good. And so what you get is the Redskins playing a lot of tight games, settling for field goals, and it puts a lot of pressure on the defense. And as you saw on Sunday, the defense couldn't hold up after one turnover right there in the red zone at the end of the game.
And obviously the big talk obviously this week for the Redskins is you lose the Fred Davis and you lose Trent Williams also. And Fred Davis was, you know, Grossman's number one target. That's just gargantuan for this particular game and this particular week against this particular team. That couldn't think of a more disastrous scenario.
You're absolutely right. There is no way the Redskins can score with New England, just because, like I said, they don't have the playmakers. You look at the Redskins' points per game average. They're, you know, if they score 20 points, you consider it a good game. Well, that's not going to keep up with New England. Now they're without their starting left tackle, who's essential in the run game. Trent Williams is so athletic. You know, he's able to control the edge and get to the second level a lot. Then you have Fred Davis, who's a bit of a matchup nightmare for linebackers and safeties. You take those two guys out, there's just no way the Redskins are going to be able to score with New England. I mean, it could really get ugly, just depending on how well the Redskins' defense holds up.
Well, and then the Redskins, that is, I mean, they do have, you know, a pretty good defense. They do have some guys in Kerrigan and Arakpo that, you know, they can cause some havoc, and we've seen it. I mean, I love Brian Arakpo. I think he's a tremendous player.
Yeah, and that's really what they wanted to do last offseason was fortify the defense. Mike Shanahan, without choosing one of the quarterbacks in the first round, you know, Blaine Gabbert, he passed on, Christian Ponder, and those guys, he decided to fortify the defense because in his first year when he wanted to install the 3-4, they didn't really have the pieces to do it, and so he went out and got Ryan Kerrigan, and drafted Jarvis Jenkins, who was out for the year with an ACL. But you've seen the upgrades they made through free agency, Barry Cofield and Stephen Bowen up front. It's really helped them, and they're now an average to above-average defense. I think you can expect the same thing on the offensive side of the ball this offseason in terms of what their priorities will be. But for now, yeah, if you're looking for a bright spot for the Redskins, it really is this defense because they get after the quarterback really well, one of the best teams in the NFL in sacks. And like you said, starts with Kerrigan and Arakpo.
Yeah, and I can think of four games this year in watching some of the Redskins, the two Dallas games, the Philly game, where they lost 20-13, and even San Francisco to a degree. This team is like four or five, this Washington Redskins team is about four or five, you know, dumb turnovers away from maybe being four wins ahead of where they are right now. It really, and I say that to people all the time in the NFL, that so much of any game is decided on three, four, or five plays. And I really believe that. This Washington Redskins team, to me, is not your typical 4-8 team. They could easily have four more wins, easily.
Well, and that's saying something, considering the people they have on offense. I mean, Rex Grossman is their starting quarterback, mm-hmm. and you know they've lost one of their best tight ends in Chris Cooley, and they've lost their first-string running back in Tim Hightower. Santana Moss missed a bunch of games with a broken hand. So, yeah, you're right. The way the NFC East has kind of shaken out with the Cowboys and Giants really failing to pull away, a lot of people around here have looked at that and said, yeah, a couple plays here, a couple plays there, and they could be in the mix. I think it goes back to the Redskins being a well-coached team. Mike Shanahan, it's kind of an interesting storyline from our perspective this week, going up against his good friend,
Bill
Belichick, and two guys that have really established top-notch reputation over their careers. I think it says a lot about what Shanahan has done here.
Yeah, no question. And Shanahan has had the Patriots' number in the past a few times, especially when he was, you know, with Denver. And the Patriots are rather, you know, the other thing some people are talking about is about, you know, the Patriots never won in Washington, D.C., but I don't put a lot of stock in any of that stuff because you're talking, you know, in some case, you know, 4 and 5 years ago and decades ago, and then, you know, that's just, it's irrelevant. But, I promise you, I know the Patriots are treating this, taking this game. I took last week's game very seriously, despite the way it turned out, up 28 points and they, complacent, but I think you'll see. I'd be shocked if that happens again this week on the road for New England. But I think it's going to be a pretty competitive game for a while. I really do.
Yeah, I could see the Redskins hanging in, and I think Mike Shanahan will find ways to try to slow the game down. The key for them will be to keep Tom Brady off the field. I'm sure that's how a lot of teams try to approach the Patriots. And the Redskins have gotten rookie running back Roy Helu going.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 100 yards in the last two games, or in each of the last two games, and so they'll try to control the clock a little bit and take some of the burden off their defense and take some of the burden off Rex Grossman. See, that's one of the problems that they've had this year is that they will call games as if they had Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson, like if Kyle Shanahan was back in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But really, they are limited in the passing game because Rex is inconsistent. They don't have a bunch of playmaking wide receivers. So, their strength right now is running the ball. Now, again, without Fred Davis and Trent Williams blocking on the edge, we'll see if that continues to be a strength. Like I said, I just think the Redskins are going to have an impossible time trying to keep up with New England's offense just in terms of putting points on the board.
Yeah, I think in the second half, the Patriots will probably, you know, wear them down, and they just have so many weapons. Maybe not people, you know, they don't compare them to Green Bay and New Orleans, but in some ways they should. They're just different. They may not have the Randy Moss anymore, but the fact of Hernandez and Gronkowski just create havoc, it seems, on a week-in, week-out basis, because there's just not many teams in the NFL, let alone can cover one of them, but both of them is nearly impossible.
Yeah, and I think for Patriots fans who are kind of getting ready for this game this week, they need to keep an eye on the Redskins injury report regarding LaRon Landry.
Yeah, I read it earlier. I saw that earlier.
And he missed last week with the groin, but the Redskins like to use him in their matchups against Jason Witten when they play the Cowboys, because Witten is so athletic and he can make a lot of plays. And I know Gronkowski and Hernandez probably even more like a receiver than Witten is, but you know, Landry would be a guy who would match up with those two. And if Landry can't go because of his Achilles or his groin or whatever is bothering him this week, then it would be a huge advantage for New England.
But talk to me about the two who's having, you know, I think a pretty good year is our old friend Jabbar Gaffney, who was very well liked around here, a big fan favorite, and I'm glad to see that he's at least in the mix and doing pretty well for you guys.
Yeah, and the Redskins traded a defensive lineman for him, Jeremy Jarman, during training camp, right when everything got started up after the lockout, just to try to bring somebody in to fortify the receiving core and bring a little bit of depth. And Gaffney started every game, and he's been very reliable, and I'm sure that's what you guys got used to in New England, was that, you know, he runs good routes, and, you know, he's a capable blocker when he's not getting the ball on the edges. Redskins running game has taken advantage of what he's able to do on the perimeter. A couple times he blocked Darrell Revis last week very well on some nice runs, so he's really a professional guy. Another thing is that he's got great chemistry with Rex Grossman. Remember, they go back all the way to the University of Florida when they were slinging the ball all around under Steve Spurrier. So those two have reconnected here, and it's been a pretty good situation. Not sure, you know, you want your frontline receiver to be Jabbar Gaffney. I think it kind of shows you the level of talent you have, but he is still capable of contributing, and the Redskins have gotten a lot out of him.
Well, lucky you guys, you don't have to play Denver and go through all that, some of the, you know, the what I call the pink hat hype about the, you know, the not your typical, just people who watch football from the outside, and then you have to deal with all that. And I'm kind of glad that the Patriots and Denver didn't get flexed to 8 o'clock at night, because there have been 3 more hours of over the top hype for that game.
Yeah, not a lot of hype for the Redskins these days. I think, you know, the Patriots are kind of the most exciting thing we've had in town in a while. I mean, the Redskins just just can't put up points, and it's something that they've come to get used to around here. Until they solve the quarterback situation, it's going to be like that. And you know, when you look at what Tim Tebow has done in Denver, and you know what Brady has done in New England, obviously they're very different players, but at least there's some kind of galvanizing force at the quarterback position. Here, it's almost like we're counting down to just see what they do next. I mean, Rex is not the quarterback of the future of this team, and you know, we're almost better started watching some college games to figure out who is.
Yeah, well, what is the next step for the Redskins as far as the quarterback situation? Because I agree. I can't imagine that Grossman or Beck is going to be the starter. Now, I don't know how you do that.
Well, Rex Grossman has won four out of 9 starts this year.
Yep.
So he has at least proven that he can win games if the team is healthy. And so as you look to the future, you could kind of logically put together a plan or a scenario where they draft a quarterback in the first round, depending on who's there, and then they bring Rex back to either hold the place or at least compete for the opening day job, and then you kind of develop the rookie from there and see how quickly he could take over. And to me, that makes the most sense. It just is going to come down to whether Mike Shanahan finds in the draft the quarterback he wants, because he had an opportunity at number 10 last year to take any number of guys, Blaine Gabbert, Andy Dalton, Christian Ponder, and he decided to pass because he found flaws in those guys. So Mike Shanahan, you got to understand, at this point in his career, his Hall of Fame legacy is at stake. He needs to develop the Redskins into a winner to secure his place in the Hall of Fame, and he's not going to attach his cart to some quarterback he doesn't believe in. So, to me, it's a matter of how low are they going to pick and whether he believes in either a Matt Barkley from USC or a Robert Griffin from Baylor, maybe even a number of other quarterbacks. But you see Rex possibly being back because he has proven that he can win some games.
Yeah, with especially running that West Coast offense that Mike's has been you know famous for running, it's just tough to do that with a Grossman and a Beck. But those quarterbacks you just named, I think that would instill much jubilation in the Washington area if they ever got one of those two guys.
Well, you look at what happened last year with Donovan McNabb, and it really set the whole building process back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they had, you know, in their minds, Donovan McNabb should be in year two right now, working hard and playing well in this offense, but his work didn't meet the standard that Mike Shanahan had set. So it really set them back an entire year in that process. Now you kind of sift through Grossman, Beck. You go back to Grossman while the offense is really sputtering with some injuries, and it really just sets the whole thing back. They need a jump start, and to me, they get it by going out and drafting a guy.
All right, Rich, thanks so much. Stay dry, my friend, and we'll talk to you down the road, I'm sure, somewhere along the way.
All right, enjoy the game on Sunday.
Okay, you too. Thank you. Rich Campbell from the Washington Times joining us here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Again, you can join me as well, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Facebook me as well, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Now, you did bring up a good point and about Landry not being able to play. And this is why, you know, the more you really start looking at this game, and breaking it down, taking away the over-the-top reaction because you think what happened in the fourth quarter last week in 8-9 minutes is going to happen again. This is looking more and more like this could be a real debacle down in D.C. for the Redskins with no Davis, and especially if, as I said, if Landry doesn't play, if he's not at safety, they got some major, major issues down there for this game. It's one of those, as I've said before, I don't say it every week, but this is just a bad matchup at this time for the Washington Redskins. Bad matchup. So I may have to alter my score a little bit from 10 to, we'll see. But we'll do that tomorrow. Anyway, let me get to some of these Facebook messages. Sven says, hey, Pete, what's up with the panic from the callers? First, we get a really good defense, points allowed, and it's not like if we really needed, we couldn't have shut out Indy in the fourth quarter. And why do people still care about yards allowed? But the very same people forget about how good the run defense we got. If we would have shut out Indy in the fourth quarter, our defense would be ranked sixth in points allowed. Just because we allowed some garbage points in the fourth quarter doesn't make our defense any worse. At that moment, we are 9 points from being the number seven in points allowed. I can't remember fans panicking this much considering how good our team is in points allowed. Well, that's the part I say all the time. Now, but I understand where people are upset, and I'm upset because you had McCourty out at the end of the game getting burned. That was what bothered me. You know, you can understand if it was Edelman or Slater out there, who actually both played very well, or if it was one of them, or Sergio Brown, who don't know if he's ever going to play again for them either. You know, but it bothered me when I saw McCourty get burned like that. Yeah, I don't overreact and panic because this first game back in a while, and I'm sure he's not at 100% yet. But I understand why fans were upset. I just don't go over the top, react to it, because, you know, for example, a caller yesterday or a Facebooker yesterday is like, what does it say about the Patriots? They can only beat the worst team in the league by 7. I'm like, well, that doesn't mean anything because the Steelers only beat them by 3. So what does that tell you? It doesn't tell you nothing. I mean, it tells you the Patriots are up by 28 and got complacent. That's what it tells me. Manny says, hey, Pete, you know I'm an Eagles fan first and Patriots fan second because of my girlfriend. So people in this country do not know how football games are won in the NFL. If a team cheated like the Patriots did, they still had to play the game. But that Eagle fan that busted Tyrone does not speak for me. I respect Brady and Belichick. Love your show as always, Pete. Sean says, Pete, after seeing Gronk play for almost 2 years, who do you compare him to the most with tight ends of the past? How does he compare with Ben Coates? Well, Ben Coates obviously was a great tight end around here, and obviously Drew Bledsoe is a favorite target of all time. Again, it's a small sampling right now, and so far Gronkowski is up there. I mean, you got to remember Russ Francis, obviously one of the greatest tight ends of all time. But I am not going to sit and compare Gronkowski yet to Russ Francis after a couple years. But certainly, and Russ Francis really was, he was one of the first real offensive tight ends that could do some damage catching the ball. So it's, you know, it's different eras, and it's tough to compare with different eras. But Gronkowski right now, I think, is the best in the game. There's no question about it. He is the best in the game. It's tough to compare. You know, Coach was one of the best in his day. You know, certainly Witten is good for Dallas. They had, San Diego, on Air Coryell, you know, they had some, I'm having a total brain fart. What's his name? His son plays in the NFL now. Kellen Winslow. Kellen Winslow, one of the greatest tight ends I've ever seen, overall. I'm talking senior. I mean, unbelievable. And no one will ever forget. Well, I think to this day, one of the greatest single game performances I've ever seen from a non-quarterback was Kellen Winslow in that playoff game against Miami back in 82, where he just did everything. That was that game where it was just a three-touchdown lead by, I think, San Diego jumped out to a three-touchdown lead. Miami came storming back. There was that great hook and lateral play. And Winslow blocked two extra points, or blocked a field goal, an extra point, caught touchdowns, made tackles on special teams. I mean, you know, he had to be kind of carried off at the end of it. He was hanging on to Fouts and whoever else, to John Jefferson at the end of the game, one of the linemen, as he was so exhausted in Miami after the way he played. And the Chargers ended up winning that game. And then had to go to Cincinnati the next week and play the Bengals, and it was negative 42 in the AFC Championship game with the wind. I kid you not. And they had no chance. They had no chance. That was Kenny Anderson's year with Chris Collinsworth and that. But, we go down memory lane. Let me see what else we got here on Facebook. Guthrie says, hey, Pete, quick question. How would you feel about the Pats drafting the likes of Tyron Badger, Tyron Honey Badger, or Matthew from LSU to bulk up the secondary? They would probably have to trade up, but I think he would be worth it. Thanks, Pete. Keep up the good work, buddy. Well, there's a long way to go before the draft. I mean, the players you're talking about, yeah, I agree, but there's a long way to go. I can't think about the draft and positioning and all that stuff. There's always players out there that could absolutely improve the team. I mean, I could draft everybody in an LSU secondary. I could take every single one of those guys. I'd take them all right now. If I could, I'd take every one of them. I take LSU's entire backfield right now. Rob less miles of everything and bring it back here. No problem. George says, hey, Pete, I love your show. I always take the time to listen while I'm at work. Unfortunately, I work nights, so I may not get to your shows until 1 in the morning. Better late than never. When I look at the Redskins game this weekend, I think of it as another potential trap game. Consider that it took forever for the Jets to even take control of the game. As for the remaining schedule as a whole, I don't see any reason why we can't win our remaining games, but wouldn't be surprised if we experience an upset somewhere in there. I have nothing but faith in the Pats and still believe they have just as good a chance as any other team in the AFC to make it to the Super Bowl. Sure, we have a crappy defense. Last time I checked, we aren't the only contender with a lousy defense, as was the Giants-Packers game, an anomaly. Keep up the great work. I'll always take the time to listen to your opinions, even if it is at 1 in the morning. Yeah. Well, George, here's the thing is that don't compare what the Patriots can do to Washington as opposed to Sanchez, who stinks with that offense with the Jets. Completely different set of circumstances. Completely different set of circumstances. So there's a lot to consider there. And this also, as we talked about, you're not going to have Trent Williams at left tackle, and you're not going to have Davis. I think this is an incredibly bad matchup. And more importantly, you may not have LaRon Landry at safety, which is just be huge, because Gronkowski and Hernandez will have field days. And he's not playing. So that's huge. Anyway, email me, webradio@patriot.com, webradio@patriots.com. And also Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. That's Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. And again, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Josh. He says, Pete, while you're on the subject, I don't know if this was from before, I would like to point out that CBS on Fios in Virginia will be showing Raiders Packers. Glad they spent so much time bleeping around about this so they could not show the game nationally. What clowns. You know what? They're going to change that. They're going to change that. They are not going to show Raiders Packers. Oh, that's this week, though. Raiders-Packers is this week. Oh, I thought you were talking about the flex game with the Patriots in Denver, because that's definitely going to be shown in every single market except for teams who have home games in the AFC. Or unless they have a visiting team is on the road in the AFC, and then that would be the Fox game automatically. I mean, the CBS game also. But, yeah, that's interesting. You know, Raiders, Packers, as opposed to the Patriots in Washington. Oh, I see. I was talking about down in Virginia. Well, that's odd. Well, the Raiders, Packers is at 4:00, isn't it? I'd have to look at the schedule. I'm not quite sure what you mean there, but maybe you can clarify. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, maybe we'll hear, did anybody play Bill Belichick or Tom Brady today? We'll hear from the coach and, probably Tom Brady as well. When we come back. 508-298-0398. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Also email me, webradio@patriots.com, and Facebook me, Pete Shepard, here until 6 p.m. on patriots.com.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy £3 and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you
you can make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend.
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just kind of really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
Hey, yeah, welcome back. Here until 6 o'clock tonight right here on Patriots.com. Let's get some more of these emails, webradio@patriots.com. Then we'll hear from head coach Bill Belichick. From earlier today. Hey, Pete, Tyrone has a broken record. This is from Tony in Toronto. Why do you keep picking up the phone when he calls? Tyrone, let it go, he says. Anyway, we're 9-3, the number one seed, and about 27 other fan bases would trade their firstborn for our problems. Everyone sit back and enjoy the ride. Tony in Toronto. Well, no, Tyrone's very passionate. I understand. I think he's too obsessed with the offense at times, but, you know, they're gonna put up 30 plus again this week. I promise you that. It's gonna be 30 plus points, in this game when it's all said and done, and that'll be it. Gene says, hi, Pete and Kevin. Pete, you have to love Tyrone. I bet if Tyrone scratched his hand, he would bleed red, white, and blue. Well, I think he got upset. These are all about Tyrone. Keith says, I better read these first. Okay, Keith says, Tyrone, you need to use a landline or ask for a new phone for Christmas. And I can understand. I know sometimes we have a bad connection. Sven says, hey, Pete, what's up with all the I read that one already. He sent that to Pete on Facebook as well. Bob says, Pete, Skins have 33 quarterback sacks this year. They do have a mean pass rush. It's about all they do well. I would think the Pats will protect Tom with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis as a blitz blocker. Offense will throw a lot of no huddle at Skins D, confusing their defensive calls and quick release routes. Patriots 38, Skins 17. Bob, I'm with you. I was thinking of that exact same score, to be honest with you. I'll wait till tomorrow to give out all my scores, but I think that's just about right. That's just about right. Josh sends me another email. It says, you're right, I am an idiot. I was thinking I was looking at next week's ratings. Oh, so, okay. So that's the one, because that's why that was confusing me about, I mean, the Patriots in the D.C. area. He lives in Virginia, and he was saying that he wasn't going to get the Patriot game. He was getting the Raider-Packer game. But he was looking ahead to next week. I promise you, you'll have on CBS will be the Patriots and the Denver Broncos, as most of the country will. Anyway, 508-298-0398. That's how you get a hold of me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com. And also Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Let me just check Facebook real quick and see if there's anything new that I can share with you. By the way, the other thing that's disgusting this week, in case you haven't heard today, I should say, is that Sandusky got arrested again, in case you didn't know that. Sandusky arrested again with more, child abuse charges. And hopefully there'll be no bail set. And, in the words of Pete Clemenza from The Godfather, when Sonny said, where's Paulie? Paulie won't see him no more. That's what it's going to be. He's never getting out of there. He won't make it. He won't make it out of there alive, and that'll be that. And you know what? Is there anybody on the planet that doesn't want to see that guy suffer? Whatever happens, I hope it's slow. Slow and tedious. Make him suffer and suffer and suffer. And when he's done suffering, suffer some more for everything that guy's done. That complete, utterly disgusting dirtbag. Gonna burn in hell. Anyway, as you can see, I'm in the holiday spirit. All right, let's head back out to Kevin and see what head coach Bill Belichick had to say earlier today.
Okay, well, we're going to have a big challenge here this week with the Redskins. I think this team really, it starts at the top with Mike and the coaching staff. I mean, they got a really experienced staff. I think they do a very good job. They've got a lot of tough schemes to deal with, and as I said, they're very experienced, so they definitely know what they're doing. Mike and Kyle do a great job offensively with their formationing and personnel usage and so forth, and it's always hard to prepare for them. You always get something in the game that you're not quite ready for, and they do a good job of attacking defenses, and that's always been a problem. And Jim does a really good job on defense with the schemes they have. They have a number of different pressure packages. They're really stout against the run. They've got a lot of really good players on defense and on special teams. It's an extremely explosive group with great specialists, returners, kickers, cover players. Again, they're a very experienced kicking team. A lot of veteran players on the units, and they definitely know what they're doing. So we have a lot to get familiar with here in a short amount of time, both from a player standpoint and also from a scheme standpoint. They really challenge you in all three phases of the game. Like I said, they're extremely well coached. They've got a lot of a lot of explosive players, guys that can really ruin the game in a hurry in all three phases of the game. We're gonna have to do a good job on. So we've got a lot of preparation to do this week.
You're not that familiar with Rutgers. I'm just curious. Does it really matter at all? Does it help you that they played a divisional opponent the game before this, or is it inconsequential?
I think it's a little bit easier to see some of the matchups. I mean, we know the Jets, and so we see how they match up against their players. So that would be better than them playing like the week before when they played Seattle, who, you know, we don't really know anybody on Seattle, and we're not familiar with Seattle. But I think you can see, like when they play the Jets, okay, this is what they're doing. Well, we see how they're trying to attack the Jets because we know the Jets. So I do think there's some value in that. We've also seen them play Buffalo, of course, and Miami, all three division games. So those are helpful because we know our teams in the division, and we can kind of see why this is what they were after. This is why they were doing this. This is why they were doing that. It makes more sense than watching them play, you know, the Arizonas and the Seattles and teams like that we're a lot less familiar with. So there's some value to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you study every game, but it's a lot easier to watch the teams that we know, and we've played Dallas, and we've played Philadelphia, and we played the Giants. So there's some degree of useful information there because of what we know about the other teams.
What kind of impact has Jabbar had on that offense?
Well, you know, Jabbar is an excellent route runner. He's a good receiver. He knows, very disciplined, dependable guy. You know, he and Moss do a good job for him on the outside, and they do, a number of different things. Again, they change their passing game around from week to week. Mike and Kyle do a good job of that. They have a lot of core concepts, but they build them from different formations, different personnel groups. And then they usually have, a few patterns each week that really attack that particular team they're playing, whether it's the individual personnel or the scheme that you're using. And they do a good job of that. And Jabbar, we know is a real intelligent receiver and very instinctive. So I'm sure he handles those things well, for them, taking routes that they haven't really run before and putting them in for that game and then running them the way that it really hurts the team that they're playing. So that's a big part of what they do also.
When you guys sign veterans, it seems bringing guys who are pretty good in the locker room and then also, see what they have on the field, like Crumpler last year, Carter this year. What has been Andre Carter's best contribution? Is it in the locker room with teammates or is it on the field and just game production?
Yeah, well, it's both. I mean, we need players that can play, and he's done a good job of that. And certainly, bringing a professional approach to the game is, that's great too. So he's really done a good job at everything. He's very attentive. He's in excellent physical condition. I mean, he's out there. He takes a lot of plays. He plays them hard in practice and the games, and he's very professional in his approach. We've asked him to do some different things. He's really embraced those and tried to the things he knows how to do, the things that are a little bit new or different for him. He's tried hard to learn and understand how we want those things done. Very unselfish player that works hard, is consistent. I mean, you get the same effort out of him every day, 7 days a week, whatever this is, 17 games or however many we've played. He's really the same dependable player on a daily basis with a lot of consistency. So all those are strengths. I don't know how you rank them, but they're all important. He does a great job with all of them. He's been such a pleasure to have on this team, and he's added a lot to our football team in a lot of different ways. Been good.
Along those lines of the header ball, when you brought him in, did you know that he was a guy who, not just what he did on the field, but it seems like a lot of the new guys say he's helped them adjust and kind of get on the same page?
I think that's one of James's strengths too. Again, very smart, professional guy. Works hard. There were times where he had a smaller role on defense. Now he has a larger one, but I think we saw him prepare the same way, regardless of what he was being asked to do. He really worked hard at his job, tried to do it the best he could, tried to be fully prepared and ready, and he was thrown into some situations that he didn't get a lot of reps on or a lot of practice opportunities, but he was prepared for him. He was ready, took advantage of him. And those led to more opportunities. So I'd say those two guys are very much alike in a lot of the things they they do in terms of their approach and preparation, professionalism, you know, off the field, communication, like all those things are, you know, exceptionally good.
A lot of your defensive leaders have missed significant amounts of time with injury. How have you seen some of the younger guys be able to develop faster, and how have they responded to that?
Yeah, well, they've been thrown into the fire, so they've had to, yeah. You know, they've just been forced into action. Some guys, like last week, you know, guys that hadn't even played, ended up playing a lot for us in that game. So, but, you know, everybody's got to be ready. You never know when those opportunities are going to come. And I know the players that get the opportunities, I mean, you never want to see anything happen to anybody. But at the same time, they're excited for their opportunity and their chance to play and to take the, you know, hard work that they've had on the practice squad or as a backup player or whatever, to be able to now go out there and have an opportunity to, you know, to play in game situations is exciting for them, and you know, they've taken advantage of that in a lot of cases. So it's challenging, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's an opportunity, and I think, you know, if you're looking for an opportunity, then you embrace it when you get it.
How much better can your team be when you have that kind of experience, game time experience, but for
three? Yeah, I don't know. We just try to get better every day and do the best we can. We'll see where it takes us. I don't know.
More guys have experience throughout the system rather than fewer, that would be fair to say.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, there's advantages to that. There's also a lot of advantages to having the same guys do it over and over again continuously with each other. So whatever the opportunities are, we'll try to make the most of them.
For a rookie like Nate Solder to be asked to handle all the responsibilities he has, just not just right tackle, but tackle eligible and moving him along the line. How unusual is that?
Kickoff return, field goal team. Nate's done a lot for us this year. He's been thrown into a lot of different situations. And, you know, I think to a degree that's been challenging. But, again, Nate's a smart kid. He works very hard. He has a good understanding. He has a good football good football background, and it's good, understands concepts well. You know, it's not just memorizing what he does, but, you know, he understands what the people around him are doing. And we've asked him to do a lot. You know, like I said, we've thrown him in on the kickoff return here the last few games. He's done a great job with that in terms of understanding it, making adjustments, doing something that he really hasn't done before. Same thing on the field goal team. So, you know, he's worked hard to do the things we've asked him to do. He's got a lot of flexibility as an athlete and as a person, you know.
An indication that this was a kid who could handle all of that.
When he's, you know, we started playing him at left tackle and right tackle in training camp, and he, you know, we flipped him back and forth, and that's not an easy thing to do. You know, like we tried doing that with Light his rookie year, and that didn't work out very well. I mean, you never know how that's going to go. And Matt's had a tremendous career at left tackle, but the flipping him back and forth wasn't, you know, probably the best thing to do for Matt to start out with, you know, whereas Nate has handled it very well. You know, Vollmer handled it. You know, it wasn't, you know, it was, so it wasn't a big problem for Sebastian. So, you know, some guys, they can do it. Some guys, they don't do it as well, and they're still very good players at what they do. So, but I think we saw it with Nate pretty early.
How does the Redskins not having Davis and Williams available affect what you guys are able to do?
Well, I think that, you know, they'll still, you know, do pretty much what they do. But, I mean, they're two very good players, of course. And, you know, Williams has done a real good job for him at tackle. I mean, I think he's played well all year, but especially the last 3 or 4 weeks. You know, he's really done a nice job. And Davis has, you know, emerged as, I don't know, their leading receiver, second leading receiver, whatever it is. I mean, he's made a lot of big plays for him. He's caught a lot of balls. He's done a good job blocking. And, you know, and he's a good player for him, too. So, you know, I'm sure they'll miss those guys. But at the same time, just like we talked about on our side of the ball, and, you know, Helu, I mean, he got in there, and I don't know, he might be their best back now. You know, I mean, even if they had Hightower, and, you know, I mean, he's done a great job for him. So, you know, whoever the next guy is, you know, we'll have to, I mean, if it's Sellers or however they decide to go, and I'm sure Mike and, you know, Kyle, I mean, they're two, you know, two of the best offensive game plan coaches that, you know, that we've gone up against. I'm sure they'll utilize the personnel that they have and give us a lot of problems with it, however they decide to do it.
Bill, when you mix up carries with your running back, especially on early downs, is that a matchup thing specific to plays you're running, or is it trying to find a hot hand?
I'd say probably neither one. It's probably more just a certain player is in with a certain group, like whatever that group is, and then the plays that we have with that group are the plays that player's, you know, not everybody's responsible, but those are the ones that he's gotten the most practice at.
Does that change week to week, or does the groups
change? Yeah, well, it could. It doesn't have to, but it could, depending on what, you know, what we want to try to do with that group, you know, how much we want to be in certain formations, what the protections are going to be this week, what type of routes we're going to ask those guys to run, what kind of runs we're going to be running. You know, sometimes it changes from, you know, group to group, the type of plays that you're using, because, you know, in one group they might be in their regular defense, like Washington's a perfect example. In their regular group, they're in their 3-4 defense, and they play that kind of one way, and then when they go to their nickel package, it's a different front, it's different techniques, it's, you know, it's a whole different look. You know, pass protection becomes, you know, much more of a mental issue of, you know, who to block and who you've got and all that, whereas in a 3-4 defense, it isn't so much who to block, it's blocking them, you know, that's the issue. So, you know, things like that change a lot in what you're trying to do offensively and your matchups, your personnel groupings, you know, who you want in there doing what. That's really where a lot of that discussion comes in. Now, that being said, if you have the guy that's in there and he's not available, then somebody else has to be able to go in there and do it. So everybody has to be prepared for it. But, you know, there's times where we think we've been able to stress the defensive matchups based on which back or which receiver, or, you know, which sometimes the receivers change in personnel groups too. And it's just kind of the same thing to try to, you know, create matchups or force them to, you know, defend different players the same. Then you can gain an advantage. If they defend them differently, then that opens up some for somebody else.
Ridley, have you noticed at all that he turns his back sometimes on contact? And is that a concern? It's almost like a half spin move sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about with running backs, and each back, you know, has their own style. You know, in the end, backs want to gain yards, and we want them to gain yards, but, you know, there's still some fundamental things that are, I think, more that you want to start with, and then if you evolve off those as the back becomes more creative in his run style, then, you know, there's certainly a place for that, but hopefully that'll come as a secondary part of it, and the first basic fundamental part of it will, you know, be the same for all the backs as far as their entry point into the hole and their basic technique of ball handling and approaching the line of scrimmage and so forth, and then, you know, can get creative after that. So there's certainly room for improvement, I'd say, with all of our backs in their running techniques, just like there is at every other position. You know, you just don't get the ball and start running. You know, use the blockers that you have in front of you, and, you know, sometimes it's not always clean, and there's a little bit of a feel for that between the back and alignment and so forth. So, you know, things we still need to work on and get better at.
What does Rex Grossman do well?
You know, I think Rex, first of all, I think he has a lot of confidence, and I think his team has confidence in him. So I think that's a good starting point. You know, the feeling you want your offense when you go out on the field is that we're gonna be able to move the ball and be successful. And I think he, you know, he brings that. He can be accurate. He's got some mobility in the pocket. He's a tough kid, and he'll stand in there and get hit and throw the ball. He's made some real good throws down the field, play action. He's hit a lot of big plays. He can get out of the pocket on bootlegs and plays like that. So, you know, I think in his aggressiveness, there's probably some throws that, you know, he'd like to have back. But I think that's part of what, you know, what makes him good is he is aggressive. And, you know, defensively, just because, you know, it looks like you have fairly good coverage on the player, doesn't mean he won't try to stick it in there. And sometimes, you know, he makes plays, and then sometimes, you know, it doesn't quite get into that spot. But, you know, he's definitely not afraid to be aggressive and throw it in. And I think defensively, you got to respect that.
So there's been a little bit of a
pressure that you put on opposing quarterbacks.
How would I describe it?
Are you
satisfied with the amount of pressure?
Always try to get more pressure. Always try to have better coverage. Always try to run the ball better. Try to throw it better. Try to score more points. We try to do that every week.
So there's some jockeying going on between the two networks about your Broncos game.
Yeah, I don't really care about the Broncos game right now. I'm worried about the Washington game.
I was wondering about the logistics of traveling.
I don't really care about it. Like, when they tell us to play, we're going to show up and play the game. Okay, so when it happens, it happens. Like, right now, I'm worried about Washington.
Is the fact that you've never won at Washington something that you think about at all?
Take a lot of pride in, yeah.
No, not like that, but I mean, is it something that you're crossing off your list, or, you know what I mean? Like, you pretty much want to...
Well, of course we want to win in Washington. We want to win because Washington's the next game. You know, if we were playing them, you know, in the parking lot at the Expo Center, we'd want to win there too, so it doesn't make any difference. We want to beat Washington because that's our next game. That's what we're here for.
Okay, final question. Is there anything that's keeping Dane Fletcher from playing other than a
thumb injury
right now?
I think when Dane's healthy, you know, when he's healthy enough to play, that I would expect him to contribute for us. I think it's a combination of things. It's a combination of being healthy enough and then being able to get enough reps on the practice field to perform your job well enough to play it. So, you know, there's conditioning, there's execution, there's timing, there's, you know, all those things. And when that happens, then the player's ready to play. And until that happens, then, you know, he's less than ready to play. Now, it doesn't mean you couldn't play him anyway, but, you know, optimally, I think you'd want to play the guy when he's fully ready. So that's true for every player. You know, it's not just being healthy, it's being able to perform on the field at a level that's at a high competitive level for what we're doing. All right.
There he is, Patriot head coach Bill Belichick early today. And again, I knew the person who asked about the Patriots-Denver game was going to get slammed. And, you know, it's just, I've just come to the conclusion now, and I'm tired of hearing about the people say, well, you have to ask the question. No, you don't. And why humiliate yourself knowing that you're going to get humiliated? If you think about the next day's event, he's not going to answer it, let alone get involved in the flexing and the 8 o'clock versus the 4 o'clock games and all that stuff. So I don't buy anymore. That's a question you have to ask, because you know from experience that if you ask about a different game in a different week, you're going to get pummeled. Wasting time, to be honest with you. And it's just the truth. There's just no getting around it. But, you know, people want to keep doing it. You want to keep setting yourself up to get pummeled, I guess, do it. And there are those, you know, the others will say, some will say, well, you know, there's questions you have to ask. No, there are no stupid questions. Well, I don't think any question, I agree, there's no stupid questions, but is it really worth setting yourself up knowing this guy is not going to ever talk to you about the future? It was strictly about this week. So if you already know that going in, it's not like you're going to catch him off guard or get him to say something about the flex schedule. No, he doesn't give a crap. I mean, he cares about wanting to play 4 o'clock, I'm sure. Personally, I don't think he's ever going to say it, because then you'd be, you know, then you get called a whiner and you get this, that. But anyway, just my take on it. That's going to do it for the Pete Shepherd Show. We are back here tomorrow between 4 and 6 p.m. B-Lo will be here. Brian Lowe in the Fantasy Football Lowdown in the 4 o'clock hour. And who knows who
I'm
might join
me. I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Yeah, I know that. But we'll find out. Actually, he's been pretty bright the last few weeks. He's been dead on with a lot of his stuff. My buddy Poker Mike will join me. And also, don't forget, in the 5 o'clock hour, I don't know who will join me. Somebody might join me. I don't know. We're gonna surprise you. If not, it'll just be me and you. How about that? Anyway, that's going to do it for the Pete Shepherd Show. Again, take care. Have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday night. If you're driving in the bad weather, be careful. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow at 4 p.m. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.